The door was open in heaven. What was the resurrection but the rending of the veil? It was the rending of the veil. And what was that rending of the veil? It was the open door in heaven. That's why Jesus said just before his departure, he said, Peter, I give unto thee the keys to the kingdom. Why did Peter get that? Why? Let's just read just a little bit, and we'll talk to you about it and see just why the Lord said that to Peter. In the fifth chapter, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Then the Bible says that after this, the first seal was ready to be loose. Now, I'd like to just take my time tonight and just drop in a thought or two if I can. Here, a book. John had already saw the book. Already saw the Ancient of Days. And there the Ancient of Days sat upon the throne. And the Bible said that this book was sealed with seven seals, and it could not be opened. No one could open it. And there was a search, and all through heaven, Michael, can you open the book? No. Gabriel, can you open the book? No. And all through heaven, Elijah, can you open the book? No. Abraham, can you open the book? No. And they searched. Moses, can you open the book? No. And they kept searching and kept looking. The 24 elders that sat around the throne, can you open the book? No. And then John began to weep. John began to weep. It looked like it was a hopeless thing everywhere. Onto the earth, there was no man that was in the grave that was found worthy. No man throughout the angelic world was found worthy. Nobody in heaven or in earth, angels or whatever, no one was found worthy to open the seals and look thereon. And John said, I begin to cry. He said, and I cried and I cried and I cried. He said, I wept much. I wept much, John said. Because nobody could open the book. It looked like it was helpless, and God didn't let John know that anybody was going to open the book. He allowed John to feel that the book could not be opened, that nobody could open it. And John was crying. Why was John crying about the book? Because that book was the book of redemption. If that book could not be opened, Brother Pike could not be saved. If that book could not be opened, you at Little Bethlehem could not be saved. Because the purchased possession which God speaks of concerning you and I was that which was contained within that book. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. Is that right? So then, the Bible tells us that it is the seal of God that is upon us. Grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. You say, Brother Pike, what does that have to do with the book? The Bible said we are an epistle that's known and read of all men. The Bible speaks of us as being the book of God. So then the Bible tells us that those seals was placed upon the back side of the book. What was that? It meant that it was a finished product in God. It was a finished work in God. It was on this side of Calvary. God had fulfilled the law in Jesus Christ and sealed it with His own blood right there, bringing in a new covenant for redemption. And that was sealed at Calvary. Nobody could touch it. We had come over Calvary, and now the back side of the book. There was 7 major steps, which we refer to as the church ages. That's what it was. We refer to it as the great church ages because it was the hinder part of God that the Bible speaks of concerning Moses, the seal of the book, whereas Moses said, I want to see your glory. God just more or less said, Moses, you'll be glad if you get a glimpse of the hind part. Moses, if you saw my glory, you'd disintegrate into nothing. Think about that. Moses didn't know what he asked. Did you know the Bible teaches that the great light of God in the coming of the Ancient of Days, after the 1,000 years millennium, the Bible teaches that even the earth will fade away, that the ocean will fade away, that all of the mountains will fade away, and there'll be nothing left. Just by the appearance of the Ancient of Days. Why, Moses had no idea what he asked God. And God said, I'll just let you see the hinder part of me. In other words, that part that I made sin, I'll let you look upon that. That bodily part of me. That part that's predestinated to come into the world and die under Calvary, I'll let you look at that part. I'll let you see that part. But Moses, no man can see my face and live. What does God mean, no man can see my face and live? Brothers and sisters in the mountains can't even see His face and exist. Nobody can be in the presence of that great light but Jesus. The Bible said God is the great light into which no man can approach. You disintegrate. You couldn't come in the presence of God. But the Bible said Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light hath immortality. So then Moses did not know what he was asking God. But see, here John Webb. He looked at that book. Jesus had finished the work. Jesus had sealed the church. The book was sealed. Everything was sealed up. All of the work of God finished. And no man in heaven nor in earth could loose that seal. At the ending of those church ages where the Bible shows the redemption coming in, every man will be given a chance. Every man will be given a chance. Why is that? Because God wants them to know that Jesus has the preeminence over all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the first and the last. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. Everything is in Jesus. Hallelujah. So then we see here how that God gives His Son the preeminence. He says to all of them, here's the book. I hold it in my right hand. Abraham, if you can loose it, come and loose it. Moses, if you were so good, come and loose the book. No man can loose the seals. John said, I wept much. And about that time, one stepped up and said, sir, I can handle the case. The Ancient of Days held to the book. He just looked. Sitting on the throne, said, son, thou art worthy. And the Bible said he went forth. God, the great light under which no man can approach, but the Lamb of God approached unto him. He said, give me the book. And he handed the book to him. He picked up the book and he ripped one of the seals off. You know, like we said, the old scroll rolled up like this. And that day it was a book rolled up like this, see. See, one rolled up, then another rolled up, and then another rolled up. He loosed the seal and unrolled that one. And then here comes the church age sweeping in. On the back side of that book, sealed on the back side of that book, what was it? The seven spirits before God, the seven lamps, the candlesticks. There, those seven spirits before God that hold the mystery of all mankind, that holds alive, it holds the redemption. Nobody could loose it. But see, there he loosed it. How did he do it? God said to Peter, through the mouth of his son Jesus, said, Peter, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom. I give unto you the keys to the kingdom. When Jesus hung at Calvary, the Bible said, and the veil was rent in twain. The veil was ripped open. The veil was rent in twain. What does he mean, the veil was rent in twain? The Bible said between you and God, there's a middle wall of partition. There's the keeping of the ordinance of God that no man has ever kept. No man. Between you and God, there's the keeping of those divine ordinances of God that even Moses could not keep. And there they stand, the middle wall of partition. But the Bible said when Jesus went to Calvary, he rent the veil between you and God. He hang between heaven and earth, and the veil was rent in two. And the Bible said in the sixth seal, said, and the heavens rolled back like a scroll. And the heavens rolled back like a scroll. What was that veil? That veil was the iron curtain of death. That was the iron curtain of death that hangs between God and humanity. Nobody had ever penetrated that great curtain. Brother, that's why I made the statement the other day, the iron curtain will be ripped wide open. Amen. You say, why is that, Brother Pike? Because we are approaching the resurrection of the dead. And because we are doing that, then the curtain has to be rent. And the dead must come forth. Russia is denoted as the dead, the cold, that which is out there. I say, how can that be, Brother Pike, when you refer to a bear? Pull a bear. But you ever heard that about the bear? He goes to sleep and he just sleeps all winter. Isn't that right? Why, he's dead. He sleeps all winter. He don't eat. He just sleeps till the resurrection comes. Isn't that right? He denotes the dead. That's what it is. But see, that great curtain will be rent. And the dead will come forth. And brother, this is the exciting part about it. Not to the natural, but to us. The Bible said they'll come forth in power. Nuclear power. They'll come forth. They'll shake the earth. We'll come forth in spiritual power. Hallelujah. So then we see the great iron curtain about to be penetrated. We see it as God is about to rend the veil. Calvary. You say, but Brother Pike, that's hundreds of years ago. I know that. But brothers and sisters, we're just now comprehending what he did. We're just now beginning to comprehend what Christ did. See, and in the age of comprehension, that's where God gives the types and the shadows to let us know what's happening. That means that when that thing happens naturally, there is a spiritual thing that's about to take place. All right, let's look at it. I give you the keys to the kingdom, Peter. The Lord upbraided the Pharisees and the scribes. Didn't he do it? The Pharisees and the scribes. He upbraided them. Why did he do that? He upbraided the Pharisees and scribes. He said, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You're the ones that did it. You're the ones that did it. You blinded the people to the true knowledge of God. You've taken away the keys to knowledge, which is the words of God. But he said, Peter, you recognize that I'm God. You know that I'm God, Peter. You don't say that I'm one God or two gods or three gods. But you know that I'm God. And Peter, because you know this, I give to you the keys to the kingdom. You've unveiled the mystery, Peter. You broke through the curtain. And I say unto you that upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when Jesus hung at Calvary and the veil was rent open, there it came to pass. John, just a few short years later, 96 A.D., just a few years after that, over here exiled on the little Isle of Patmos, just off of the Mediterranean, there John began to see the revelation of Calvary. And John said, oh my, he said, I see a door that is open in heaven. I see the curtain roll back. I see the door is open in heaven. Think about that. Never before in the history of mankind has there been a door open in heaven. Never has been the door open in heaven. 4,000 years had rolled by. Never had there been a door open in heaven. But shortly after Calvary, just a few years, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he said, brethren, behold, I see a door, and that door is open in heaven. Jesus standing between heaven and earth. That door is open in heaven. That's why the Bible tells us that when Jesus came down to earth, that men pressed their way into the kingdom of God, that we have the power to go into the kingdom of God. We can press our way into the kingdom of God because there's a door that's open in heaven. You and I can go into it. But there's no playing religion about it. Peter, I give unto you the keys. What are you going to do? Open the door. Now listen. I'm going to open the door. There's a door that's open in heaven. What is the door? Jesus said, I'm the door. No man can get to the Father but by me. I'm the door to the sheepfold. I'm the gate called beautiful. I'm the door. So then, I'm the door, Jesus said. I give unto you the keys to the door, Peter. What are you going to do? I'm going to preach a sermon and tell these people to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! That there's salvation in none other name but the name Jesus. To repent of their sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. For there is salvation in none other name, and there is none other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. And the Bible said 3,000 people was added to the church. Peter said, come on down to the water hole. Hallelujah. Somebody said, now baptism just ain't necessary. Brother, baptism is a part of righteousness. God said to John, Jesus speaking to John, said, John, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. When John refused to baptize him, he said, you must baptize me, John. It's a part of righteousness. Jesus took time to go to the water hole. And I said this, if Jesus took time to go to the water hole, the president's got time to go to the water hole. These dignified doctors and dentists and all's got time to go to the water hole. Senators and movie stars and everybody else has got time to go to the water hole if Jesus, the God of heaven and earth, took time to go to the water hole. All right, so then, what are you doing, Peter? 3,000 people. And he opened the door to the kingdom. Opened the door to the kingdom. And 3,000 people stepped into the door, through the door. 3,000 people was added onto the church because Peter had the keys to the kingdom. Not only did he open it to the people that's called the Jews. A lot of people like to bypass and say, well, Brother Pike, that was to the Jews. But Peter later stood up in the meeting and said, you know how that God, making a difference between us, chose me to go to the Gentile people and open the door to them into the kingdom of God. He opened the door to the kingdom of God down at Cornelius's. Come on now. I said, Peter opened the door to the Gentiles just like he did the Jews. There wasn't any difference in them. He stood down there and he preached that sermon after having seen that vision on the housetop. Went with those men down there, preached that sermon to them, and the Bible said while Peter preached, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And they began to speak with other tongues. Hallelujah! And the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now a lot of people say, now, Brother Pike, was those people baptized in Jesus' name? No, they hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody said, you can't get the Holy Ghost unless you've been baptized in Jesus' name. That ain't what the Bible teaches. Glory to God, you got to go by what the book says. The Bible said, while Peter preached the gospel to them by faith in God, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And they received the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, Brother Pye, it just fell on them. The Bible said, Peter speaking, said, seeing that these have received the Holy Ghost as well as we have. All right, now look at the follow-up. Who can forbid water that they should not be baptized? There you are right there. Now look at that. Somebody said, now wait a minute. Glory to God, I got the Holy Ghost. And if I got the Holy Ghost, you tell me that I got to be baptized? Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Are we sons of God? Thus it becometh us to fulfill the righteousness of God. And somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you believe that you can receive the Holy Ghost before you baptize in Jesus' name? I definitely do. Now, somebody said, well, now that settles it. If you receive the Holy Ghost before you are baptized in Jesus' name, that proves that you don't need to be baptized. You've already got the Holy Ghost. That ain't what the book teaches. Brother, let me tell you something. The same Peter that said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus just because they were filled with the Holy Ghost, that didn't change Peter's formula. That didn't change Peter's preaching. Why didn't Peter just say, you got the Holy Ghost? That settles it. He said, but now look, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. God gave it to you. Said, be baptized in the name of Jesus now as a testimony to them that are without and for the purpose of fulfilling all righteousness. And the Bible teaches that they were baptized. Come on now. The Bible said, Philip down in Samaria preaching the gospel and healing's taking place. Here we go down the trail of divine healing. Somebody said, glory to God, I'm having miracles. If I'm having miracles, I got God and I have to worry about all this Jesus' name baptism. But the Bible said that they were down there and great miracles was taking place. And the people were rejoicing over what they heard of the gospel and seen in the demonstration of the gospel. And great things was taking place down there. And the Bible said that he sent for the apostles to come down and to lay hands on the people. Why? So they could receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Miracles or no miracles, you need the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, and what about this Jesus' name? The Bible said they'd already been baptized in Jesus' name. Why was that? Because the Bible said Philip was preaching two things. What was he preaching? He was preaching baptism in the name of Jesus in the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible said he was preaching. Why was he preaching both of them? Why not just preach the kingdom of God? Because, brother, you can't get in a house without a door. He was telling them about the kingdom of God and the door that had been opened. And how to get into the kingdom of God. Said, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. The kingdom of God is at hand. But, beloved friend, there's a door. What is the door? Jesus. Hallelujah. There is salvation in none other name. None other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved. And it shall come to pass that whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Somebody would say, well, I called on the name of the Lord. But the Bible said, Paul, who knew the law of the letter, blameless as touching the law. Paul, who was a religious man, the top religious man of his day. Indeed, and in spirit, in his day, all that he knew. Paul was the top. But when God got ready to save Paul, he said, Paul, go over to the street called Straight. I got a hole in this preacher that's waiting on you. Go on over there, Paul. You might think you know something, but brother, there's something that you don't know. Later on, Paul said, when you think you know something, there's something you don't know. Go over to the street called Straight. And God made him blind. And he went feeling his way and he got over there. And this preacher, this holiness preacher, probably come up just about shaking like a leaf. Who are you? I'm Saul of Tarsus. Who are you? Oh, I've heard about you. By the way, you kill people. My, my. Sound like ping, don't it? All of them people you killed. Murdered. Oh, he said, I heard about you. Don't you know he was scared? Paul said, there's been a change. Oh, there's been a change. My, I've heard from heaven there has been a change. Glory to God, there's been a change. He said, well, what do you want over here? I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, now, Paul, why? Ain't you one of them elect and predestinated and don't have to mess with that? Ain't you one of them Bible scholars? Ain't you chosen from the mother's womb? Don't you know you're going to be a great apostle? God said, you go over and get that man to baptize you. For it shall come to pass, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible said Paul was baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's what the book says. Praise God. There he was, see. He was calling on the name of the Lord. What was it? It was still the same formula, beloved friend. It's always been the same way. God never gave another way. There is no other way. I've said this before. In the Old Testament, everybody that came into the army of Israel was baptized in the Red Sea. God made all of them go through the water before they become part of the army of Israel. And why unto Moses? The Bible said unto Moses, why? The prophet like unto Jesus, pointing ahead. When Brother John came out preaching the gospel, here comes that Baptist again. Hallelujah! They said, what are you? He said, I'm a Baptist. How many know Baptist means baptize? I'm a Baptist. Repent of your sins and be baptized, he said. And they did. And they did. But brother, he didn't do them like a lot of preachers of today. He didn't say that you're sinner to Jones. And you come on down here and we'll baptize you because you got a title longer than anybody else. He said, you bunch of hypocrites. Come on now. You crooked generation, John said. Who's been preaching the gospel to you? Whoever told you I was over here to start with? He said, well, we heard about it. He said, you go get straightened out and come back and then we'll baptize you. Come on now. Somebody said, all that little miniskirt won't hurt and them pantsuits won't hurt. Strip down the front, won't hurt. John said, you hypocrite. You get straightened up before you join the family of God. Then what did John say? John pointed right on. I'm talking about Baptist preaching now. John pointed right on over there. When he got on over there, he said, now look. He said, if you think this is strong preaching, well, I ain't even worthy to dust the feet of him that's really going to do the preaching. I'm just getting you tuned up so when he comes, you'll know what's... Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You don't believe he preached stronger than John. You read it back over there in the Old Testament. He said, behold, I send my messenger before my face. He shall prepare my way. And then shall the messenger of the covenant come. Hallelujah. Said, you'll be like a full of soap. Purge you like fire. Who shall be able to stand in the day of his coming. John said, boy, I'm just getting you tuned up. You wait till that preacher gets here. I know he didn't say it in those words, but they said, what are you doing baptizing? I'm baptizing you under repentance, saying, here comes the preacher. Believe on the name, it's coming. And the Bible said in the 19th chapter of Acts, though they had been baptized according to the Baptists, in the 19th chapter of Acts, holiness come. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible said. Paul was the apostle of the Gentile church. He said, I magnify my office because I am the apostle. He said, folks, he said, do you know anything about the Holy Ghost? They said, no. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you become a believer? Why? I said, we've not even heard about the Holy Ghost. He said, we not even heard will there be so much as the Holy Ghost tonight. Paul said, ah, you need another sermon preached to you. Hallelujah. He said, I'm one of them Jesus name preachers. Uh-oh, here it comes. Here it comes now. He said, you've been baptized by John, and according to that baptism. Yep. Ain't that good enough? That's the way Jesus was baptized. Said that was all right then. That's all right then. But said, brethren, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Come on now. And the Bible said, though they'd been baptized by the Baptists, they had to turn over a new leaf. Because the days of holiness had come. The name of Jesus had got here. Come on now. Praise God. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that the church of God and the assemblies and all them Baptist folks? Okay, what's holiness? The Bible said God is the spirit of holiness. Isn't that right? Well, what is God? In the beginning was God. Who was God? The Word. And what was the Word? The Bible said it was made flesh. And who was the flesh? Jesus. And who was Jesus? The spirit of holiness. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God, that Holy Ghost preacher had come preaching the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the way to God, the opening of the door. The door had been opened, the veil had been rent, and here it was. They were getting ready to loose them seals on the back side of the book. And the Bible said when Paul preached the sermon to them, they were baptized over in the name of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost came in. The infilling of the Spirit came. And the Bible said they began to speak in tongues. That's why some of the Baptists today are speaking in tongues. Did you know there's Baptist churches just having a spiritual downpour and people are being filled with the Holy Ghost, and them Baptist preachers is jumping up and down and speaking in tongues because they learned about the Holy Ghost? Somebody's saying, now, Brother Pike, do you believe they got it without being baptized in Jesus' name? I sure do. And the first news you know, they're going to be looking for Jesus' name baptism too. Because the Bible said that Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth and righteousness. Now then, you say, but Brother Pike, if you get the Holy Ghost before you baptize in Jesus' name, don't you believe that you got the Holy Ghost whether you ever get baptized in Jesus' name or not? And what are you going to do with all them people that gets the Holy Ghost that won't be baptized in Jesus' name? We'll have to do nothing with them because they didn't get the Holy Ghost. There ain't no such people. Not God's people. There ain't no such people. People who tell you they got the Holy Ghost that won't go and be baptized in Jesus' name, they don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. Come on now. There's one Spirit, God's Spirit. And the Bible said, if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. And what kind of Spirit that? The Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of Christ. So then, if a person gets the Holy Ghost, the real, godly, genuine Holy Ghost, what will that Holy Ghost do? Cause him to go on in all truth and all righteousness. And what is that righteousness? What is that righteousness? Like our brother sitting up here, Assembly of God preacher, when he got the Holy Ghost, it took him right on into baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. I've seen Baptist preachers do it. I've seen Assembly of God preachers do it. I've seen Church of God preachers do it. All kind of preachers do it. Hallelujah. Brother Al Gonzalez was a Catholic, but when he got the Holy Ghost, he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, When you get the Holy Ghost, He will bring you out. Now you might be a believer. I'm not disputing that. But being a believer, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? You're a believer. That's good. But have you received the Holy Ghost? The Bible didn't say that you're His because you believe. It said, have you received the Spirit of God since you believe? You're not His unless you have my Spirit, Jesus said. Many are called, few are chosen. Now then, that means that those people in those denominational powers and out in the world, when they receive the Holy Ghost of God, they'll be baptized in the name of Jesus. And if they don't be baptized in the name of Jesus or come to the name of Jesus Christ, they'll turn charismatic and go with the charismatic group and avoid the truth in God's Word. Whereas many of the charismatics will come out of that and be baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm talking about God's Word. Hallelujah. For everybody. He said, what I say unto one, I say unto all. It begins at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Somebody said, I can't understand why come the end ain't come. Because the kingdom gospel ain't got there yet. But it's going. It's going. Every time God raises up one of these boys, they want to compromise with all the Trinitarian ways of life. They want to compromise. They get up there and they want to compromise. They get to thinking about money and they think they won't never get that top place up there and have all that money and fame and popularity. So they compromise and draw all the brethren in. But beloved friend, I don't plan to do that. Hallelujah! Glory to God, I believe one gospel for you, one gospel for me, and one gospel for them. All in Jesus' name. Every bit of it's in Jesus' name. I said, are you one of them Jesus onlys? Are you really a Jesus only? I'm only Jesus's. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, well, I want to dispute that with you. All right, let's take our text on the mountain. The Bible said, and they stood there. James and John and them went up there and they saw him standing on the mountain. There stood Jesus, there stood Moses, there stood Elijah. Peter said, let's build three tabernacles. A voice from heaven said, we ain't going to build but one. We believe in oneness. Somebody said, I love Jesus. Amen. Says, forget about them other two tabernacles. Come on, we're not Trinity. Forget about them tabernacles, God said. In my Son I'm pleased to dwell. Is that right? Said, we'll build one. And the Bible said Moses and Elijah went away. And there stood Jesus only. Oh my. There it is. And there was Jesus only. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. So then God is doing something, beloved friend. There's one gospel. I'm going to close in just a few minutes. There's one gospel. That's in the name of Jesus Christ. So then there was nobody in the Old Testament baptized any other way except in the Red Sea under Moses. And then by John under Jesus. Is that right? And under Moses pointing to the prophet like unto Moses, which was Jesus. Everything pointing to Jesus. And then you find all through the New Testament nobody was ever baptized anyway but in the name of Jesus. And then it wasn't until the Nicene Creed came in by the Roman Catholic people that they started the baptizing by using the title Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Let me tell you something. You listen real close to me now. When the Lord spoke in Matthew 28 and said, go baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That was Jesus doing the talking. Check it out. He just resurrected from the dead. Judas was gone. He'd been taken away. Wasn't nobody standing there but the 11 apostles. For the Bible said he appointed them a place where he would meet them. Just before his ascension, they stood there. Said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Why did he say that? Because that voice said, hear ye him. Just one. Just one. Now listen. Jesus said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature, for all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Now listen. And the Bible says Those men straightway, Jesus said, go to Jerusalem. Tarry till you be endued with power from on high. Those same 11 apostles went over a Sabbath day's journey to Jerusalem into the upper room. There they fasted and prayed till that mighty Holy Ghost of God came back as a gift. And they were filled so, and the room was filled until the whole building shook. Then, the Bible says, after this, they rose up. The Holy Ghost came in a flame of fire and set upon their head as a tongue of fire. Just moved about the room and set over their head. And the Bible said they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We got a revelation, no teaching somewhere, that tells why it came in cloven tongues. Remember, cloven tongues had to do, a cloven hoof in the Old Testament had to do with that which was clean. They could eat that which was clean if it was cloven. Here come a cloven tongue of fire now. I want you to get this. We're going to close. Just hold on just a little bit. Now, here they are over in the upper room waiting for the moving of the Spirit. Is that right? And the Holy Ghost came like a mighty rushing wind. Filled all of the place. And old brother Peter got so full of the Holy Ghost, he stood up in the midst of all of them. And the Bible said there was devout men out from under every nation under heaven, all of them being Jews now. Medes, Parthians, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, all of these great people was there. And Peter stood up and preached a great message. What kind of message did he preach? He said, repent, repent. Oh, he said, with wicked hands you've taken and crucified the Lord of glory. And I trust that you did it in ignorance. And I'm going to give you a chance to see whether you did or not. And they said, what can we do, Peter? You got the keys to the kingdom. Set us up a church, the first church. Not the second church. Now, we're talking about the first church. If you belong to the first church, we're talking about the first church. And he said, what can we do? Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, including little Bethlehem, we'll say. Every person. Oh, let me tell you, friend. Don't you dare go to the judgment of the living God and stand before the angry God of heaven and earth. And stand there without being baptized in the name of His beloved Son. Don't you dare do it. Not one can escape. Not one can do it. He cut off the entire world and saved Noah before he'd compromise one iota. Not one jot nor tittle will pass away. All must be fulfilled. No other name in heaven. Why was it that Peter told them people to be baptized in Jesus' name? Don't you see that? Now look at it. These PhDs and great Bible scholars and all these philosophers that think they got that thing figured out, and they go to school and go to college and butt heads for years to come out more ignorant than they was when they went in there, because they didn't listen to the Spirit of God when the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. Said the Holy Scriptures was written as men, was given it by inspiration of God. It must be interpreted the same way. And while they split theological hairs over what's inspired and what's not inspired, people die and go to hell. What was it? Peter, what are you doing? Can't you just imagine Jesus or some of the other apostles, 11 of them there? Why didn't they go up there and say, Peter, what in the world are you doing? Peter, you know the Lord told us to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Peter, you know He told you that. I was standing there when He told you that. But the Bible said He didn't do that. It said, but every one of them agreed with Peter. And the Bible said it was called the Apostles' Doctrine.
And Jesus said, other foundations can no man lay except that which is laid of God. What foundation is that? Abraham said, I'm seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Paul refers back to it. And when they looked for that city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, they looked for them foundations. And it said, Peter, James, John, right on. Other foundations, I've laid the foundation of that city. And you as lively stones must be built upon that foundation. And don't you try to lay another foundation, he said. That's the only foundation of the church. Now listen. Listen now. Peter, why did you do that? Don't you know you've broken every commandment in the Bible? Don't you know, Peter, that you've become a renegade? You violated the Almighty God's Word. Jesus, the resurrected Christ, told you to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you went out here and baptized 3,000 people in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on now. Something's going on. Something's happening. Why in the world would Peter do that? Brothers, he'd done that because that was the revelation of what Jesus said in Matthew 28. And I declare today, as I've always declared, and I challenge anybody in the world, I don't care if it's doctor of divinity, whatever it is, to prove it any different. When Jesus in Matthew 28 gave the charge to baptize, he was saying, baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. For that is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. For the Bible said a son shall be born and his name shall be called Wonderful Mighty God. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. And he came in the name Jesus. Said, if I come in another name, you'd receive me. But I come in the Father's name and you receive me. And God verified it on further over there. He said, son, you kept him in my name. Jesus said, Father, I've kept him in your name. And he said, son, because you kept him in my name, I'll give you another name that nobody knows but to whom you will reveal it. Come on now. And then the Bible said a son shall be born. His name shall be called Jesus. He come in the Father's name. His name was called Jesus. And the Bible says when the Holy Ghost comes, he will come in my name, Jesus said. The name Jesus, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not names plural, but name one singular. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus. Hallelujah. None other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved. None other name where there's salvation. Now, what happened? Peter either fulfilled Matthew 28 when he set up the first church and them 11 apostles either fulfilled Matthew 28, which was the words of our Savior. Brother, are those words was never at any time in the Bible ever fulfilled. Because there's no record where they ever done it any other way. And if Peter and them broke the commandment of Christ Jesus, then we better throw the Bible away and forget about preaching because we're all a bunch of reprobates. Now, what about these PhDs? I might say, but I believe it that way. How in the world can you do an ignorant thing like that? Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Stand there in the face of the Almighty God, you might as well put a razor to your throat. Stand there when God's word emphatically states there's none other name without that's got salvation but the name Jesus. And then you compromise and hypocrite and try to get around it. Why the devil don't care how much you go to church. He don't care how much you pay your tithes. Catholics do that. All kind of people do that. He don't care how much you say, praise God, praise the Lord, praise everything. But when you start talking about the name Jesus, that's what they don't want in the church. Brother, you check the church out and you'll find out in all of the denominational churches that the name Jesus is hardly ever mentioned. Why? Because the Bible said they'll cast out devils in my name. And you can't talk about the name of Jesus and have a house of devils. They'll get on the run right quick. Amen. That's why they don't stay around little Bethlehem because we believe in the name Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise and lift up his name so that people can find salvation. That's the door that John saw in heaven. That's the only one that can loose those seals. I wish we had more time to talk about the seal tonight. Maybe one night we will. But listen, either Peter fulfilled the words of God, or they never were fulfilled. And I'm not going to say he broke them, because that would be wrong. He never broke them. Don't you know that Peter didn't break the word of God? Then who are these people that go around baptizing you some other way and telling you to be baptized some other way? Who are they? They're the daughters of the great whore. Because the Nicene Creed shows when the Roman Catholic powers killed out the apostles. It's on record. Go to your library and check it out. That nobody was ever baptized that way until the Nicene Creed came in and set up the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church started because they didn't have a revelation of knowing what was happening. And it killed all the apostles and didn't have a true God preacher to tell them. The ones that was around, they wouldn't believe. Is that right? Now, that continued on through the Dark Ages. That's what brought the Dark Age. That's why it's called the Dark Age. It's because God wouldn't give any light on that. That's not the gospel. God withdrew from it. There was no light because there was no Jesus name. But when Martin Luther broke out and started preaching the best he knew how, God began to honor it because he had set his bow to shoot straight at the name Jesus to bring it back into power. I will restore that the caterpillar got, the canker worm, and the years the locust consumed. I will restore, saith the Lord. And he's gradually restored from Martin Luther's day right on down until we come back over here and that baby's been born and he's got to have a name. And I say, call him Jesus. Because the Bible said when he was born, call him Jesus. Are you that babe tonight, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? Let's lose our identity and call him Jesus. And the Bible said, they that are called by my name, hallelujah. If they'll call on me, I'll hear from heaven and heal their lands. This church world going around with their big denominations and churches and all these, God ain't never going to hear from heaven. It's just going to be one big mess. He said, you fast. They said, we're fasting. You not hurt us. Brother, you can fast till your tongue hangs out like a goat. That ain't going to do it. You got to call on the name of his lovely son. Praise God. So then the government's in a wrecked up mess. Motherhood's gone. Daddyhood's gone. Children are gone. Turned beatnik. Everything's gone. It wasn't but one thing that was lasting. That was a church. And now it's gone. Ain't nothing left no more. So then the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is my wife? My body. No longer twain, but my own body, my flesh. Mystery concerning the head and the membership. Christ and the church. One head, many members. All right, we're closing now. So then, there's one thing about it. It's Jesus' name. And there ain't no other church. All this other stuff going on. You say, Brother Pike, why in the world did God allow that to happen? Just like I've often said, if you're going to raise chicks, you have to have some Startina. Or you'll choke them to death on corn. You got to have a little fence over here. You can call it Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Church of God, or whatever you want to. But brother, you're going to run them on down. From them little baby chicks when they hatch off, you're going to have to keep separating them. When you get brawlers, you're going to have to separate them from them babies or they'll trample them to death. Isn't that right? And when you get on out here and you get some great big hens that can flap their wings, some big roosters that can crow and strut about the barnyard, you better get them away from them babies. Because they're liable to hurt them not meaning to. Isn't that right? Is that right? Amen. Praise God. When your comb begins to grow out, you can strut and crow. Isn't that right? Somebody said, now why do you say that? That's why the Lord reproved Peter with that rooster. Amen. Even a rooster had more sense than that. Reproved Balaam with a donkey. Even a donkey had more sense than that. All right, so then we got to remember one thing, folks, and that is it's God's way or it's no way at all. You can be stubborn and rebellious and say, I'm this, I'm that, I believe this, I'm going to be this way, I'm going to be that way, and die and go to hell because that's what you're going to do, because in the day of judgment, Brother Pike will be standing right there at the judgment, and I'll be looking at you, and you'll hear these same words from God because God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some might say, you just wait till we get there. We'll see, Brother Pike. You'll be sorry when you see how God looks at me and then looks at you. No, no, there won't be no days like that. Brother, God is the Word. He'll never change. This is His Word. The Bible said, he that God sendeth shall speak God's Word. And he that receiveth him that I sent receiveth me, and he that rejecteth him that I sent rejecteth me. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let me say this right hurriedly. Remission of sin is in the name Jesus, for the Bible said remission shall be preached in His name. So there's no remission in none of the name. And the Bible said that water is for the remission because they were baptized for the remission, using the name in which remission is. And the Bible said, whosoever sins you remit. So you put them all together and the preacher does the remitting. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. You ain't going to do it no different in heaven. It's going to be just the way I set it up on earth. My kingdom come on earth. My will be done on earth as in heaven. It's going to be the same. Is that right? So then the preacher does the remitting. The water is the means by which the remission comes. And the remission is in the name of Jesus, not in the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but in the name Jesus, which is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When a man takes you down and you say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and bring you up, he lied to you. He didn't baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If he'd have baptized you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he'd say, I'll baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Then brought you up. All right. So then we see that all these people that's doing those things is an enemy of God. It'll be so close it'll deceive the very elect if it was possible. But brother, it ain't possible. Hallelujah. The righteous is going to see it. But the rest of the world won't see it. Some might say, Brother Pike, you mean all my friends and all my neighbors and all my raisins, all my preachers. Yes, they're everything, including your grandma and grandpa. If they believe that way, all of them's wrong. God's Word's right. Amen. The Bible said, let every man be a liar. I'm not going to worry about my neighbors and my relatives, my friends and everybody else. And die and go to hell over somebody. I'm going to take the Word of God, folks. Now, if I get excited, you'll just have to pray for me because this is an exciting thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, I want you to stand with me. If I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for God. Paul said this thing wasn't done in a corner. I'm trying to reach your soul because I love you. Hundreds and thousands of people will hear this message because it goes out on radio all over the nation from Pennsylvania to Arizona. Now, sometimes they publish it in the paper. But brethren, listen, it's got to be right. It's got to be straight. In the day of judgment, I'll have to answer to God and I'll go to hell if I add to His Word or take away. That's the way the Word gives it. I love you, but your blood be upon your own head if you won't receive it. I am guiltless of your blood. The Bible said if you see the sword coming and you don't want them, said I'll require their blood at your hand. I warn you in the name of Jesus. Now the blood's off of my hands. It's on your head. And if you don't obey it, then in the day of judgment, I'll be free from your blood. The Lord showed me in a vision one night and had blood all over my hand. I said, my God, what is this? And He said, preach the gospel. Or you'll have blood on your hand. He showed me to preach the gospel. And I'm preaching the gospel because I don't want blood on my hands. So don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Tell it just like it is.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say, Brother Pike, why is it so plain now? And it hasn't been so plain before. Because a child's being born, it's time to name him. Isn't that right? You're going to get married, you've got to take his name. And we're down at the end of the trail. And the Bible said it come to pass, there'll be light in the evening time. So this is the light of the evening time. It's beginning to shine now. And God requires it. Every light, as you get the precious Spirit of a living God, look, folks, look as I close. Listen to this. This is God's Word. You wouldn't deny that, would you? If this is God's Word, and the Bible said Jesus was the Word, then who is that Holy Ghost? He is the Spirit of Jesus. How do you know that? Because the Bible said He's the Spirit of truth. Isn't that right? And what did God call truth? He said, my words are truth. Isn't that right? And who is the Word but God? And I say again, it's just like He took metal out here on process that's in the earth, the elements. It's just like you took it without form and you liken it to the Father because he'd never been confined to any human thinking. Nobody'd ever formed God in his mind. Look at the unprocessed elements of the types and the shatters. Pick them up and what do they do with them? God took himself, those unprocessed elements, poured them into Calvary, the mold, isn't that right? Build an automobile mold, any kind of mold, he poured them into a human mold called Calvary. Is that right? The fullness of God himself, he poured it into Calvary. Poured it into that mold and that fire of God heated it up. And God became personified 33 years across the earth. He personified himself in a mold called Jesus, which was the Son of God. And they saw him and they comprehended God in the mold of their mind. They were able to comprehend God. They were able to comprehend and figureize God in their minds. Seeing him do good everywhere he went, they comprehended who he was, what he was, what kind of God he is, and what he does, his characteristics. Isn't that right? Did it in Christ. Then hung the mold up there and split the mold open just like you would any mold when you finish molding the image. And out stepped the precious Holy Ghost of God, the personification of God, the quickening spirit, the Christ, the last man Adam. And he's around today. Today he is not, we don't refer to him as a spirit today in that way. We refer to him as the Holy Spirit unpersonified, the elements uncollected. But today he is a personification, which means a ghost. When you personify a spirit, that means a ghost. King James rendering gives him as a ghost after Calvary. He is a ghost, that is, he is an image. He came out of a human body. The mold was open and out stepped the Holy Ghost. So who is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? The same God. The same God. Is that right? Who is the one that projects him? One mold called the Son of God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means there's no other human body of the Godhead. No other form of body. But for the Godhead, but that one God. Folks, listen, when you get to heaven, you remember this, you're not going to see God sitting up there on one throne and Jesus sitting up there on one throne and the Holy Ghost sitting on another throne. You ain't going to see that. Somebody say, give me Bible for that now. The Bible says, if you overcome, you can sit down in the throne with my Father. For I have overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father, not on the throne beside my Father, not on the second throne, but in the throne with my Father. For me and my Father are one. Father, make these one as we're one. What does he mean? It means that Jesus Christ with a human body is the Son of God and God is an eternal spirit. And the only human image or personage that he has is that Son of God image. And he dwells in that and looks at you through the blood of his Son. That's what it means. You love Jesus? Jesus said, lest you believe I am he, you shall die in your sins. All right. So we see it. One God, the eternal spirit, that has went through all the process to manifest himself to a human being. Having human beings as a kingdom, he must be a human being to rule over his kingdom. And that the chief of human beings. Proving himself the champion in all things that he might draw the admiration as the king of all human beings. Putting his spirit, the Holy Ghost, the precious personification, the spiritual Holy Ghost in our hearts. That will reflect God. That means that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the Word. If he is the Spirit of this Word, the Bible said when he comes, he'll testify of me. That's what Jesus said. And that's the Word. Is that right? The Spirit will testify of the Word. If you've got the Spirit in your heart, it'll testify of this Word. If it don't testify of this Word by having you be baptized in Jesus' name, living holiness, covering up your nakedness, coming out of the world, you don't have his Spirit. And if you have not his Spirit, you're none of his. You must have the Spirit of the Word. And the Spirit of the Word is the Holy Ghost. All right, that is the Spirit of truth. When he, the Spirit of the Word, the Spirit of truth has come, he'll testify of the Word in your heart, in deeds as well as speech. God has predestinated us to conform to the image of his Son, the Word. Is that right? I know you're in a hurry now. I ain't going to preach the second sermon. Don't get on pins and needles now. Just hold on. We're going to let you go. I know you've been here a good long while. You've been patient. I appreciate it. But I've been asked over and over about this message.
And though I preached somewhere down the line, they got hundreds of tapes, and they don't know where to locate it. And I've got a feeling that they're going to tab this one so they'll know where to find it. And more, so many people ask for it all around the country. But they know that's the way it is. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? He that hath the Father, he doesn't say that he hath the Son, does it? The Bible teaches if you've got the Son, you don't have to worry about the Father. He that hath the Son hath the Father. You can't get the Father and then get the Son. See, because the Father can't come to you unless he comes through the Son. You must have the name Jesus. And folks, you might not believe this, but there's one thing that God esteems above his name, and that is the Word. Is that right? One thing. That means that the Spirit of truth, the precious Spirit of truth, if you have not his Spirit, even Jesus' name people that go around, some of them that's got off into a Jesus-only teachings, many of them that are so wrong and mixed up. You can say Jesus' name all you want to and be baptized in Jesus' name all you want to. But folks, if you don't have the true Holy Ghost of God that gives you love and charity and conform to holiness, real old-time holiness, you don't have nothing. You can be baptized in every water hole in the country. That don't mean you're nothing. If you don't have His Spirit, you're nothing. Let's sing this chorus together. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee every hour. I need Thee. I need Thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I need Thee. You know, we was talking one time about that red up there around that a little place up there. The red shield having to do with the blood atonement. And I never had noticed it until tonight, and I know God had to do with it out of all the years I preached here. Or maybe it never has been like that before. I don't know. But I never had noticed it. But Jesus hung between heaven and earth, didn't he? And it's so plain. It has picked up the cross, I suppose, from this sacred desk, and has magnified it to be about that big, so plain. That's something, isn't it? I guess there's a cross on here, or is there? Is there a cross on the front of this desk anywhere? I didn't think there was. What it is, it has picked up that star, I suppose, and has turned it into a cross. It's every bit a cross, solid cross, with a white background behind it. Great big cross, plain. Between heaven and earth is really something. Do you need Jesus tonight? Do you want Jesus? Do you? I want Thee, Lord. I want Thee every hour. I want Thee. I want Thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I want Thee. Don't you see how all of the religious world will go into one body? All of them will. All of them will go into one body because they've been deceived. You say, but Brother Pike, don't you believe God is in those bodies? He one time was. He moved through those bodies. The life moves through the stalk, doesn't it? It moves right on up through the stalk, through the blades. It moves right on up. But did you ever notice that when the life comes on through the stalk, gets over there into the cob, and gets into the grain, and it makes the ear of corn? Have you ever noticed that the rest of the stalk dies? The life leaves it. See, the life is leaving all those denominational powers, and they're dying now. They're withering up now because it's harvest time. All the life's done come through there. They done their job. They're becoming the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And God's rejecting them. All the good life and good people has done come out. Done been run out and done been sifted out. That it's a bunch of formality and worldliness now. They still think they got God, but so does the Catholics. So does all of them. The Jews believe they got God all these years. And yet it's obvious that God rejected them. And they've had nothing but problems. Can we sing one more chorus? Let's close our eyes together. Lift our hands. And let's sing this little chorus.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by.
Can we step down to the altar for just a minute tonight? Oh,
Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by.
Can you sing it with me again?
Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry?
Don't you love him tonight?
And while on others thou calling, oh, do not pass me.
Sing it again. Lift your hands and sing it again.
Oh, Savior, oh, Savior, won't you hear my humble heart.